Jazakallah khair wafia. May Allah bless the people at PureStream Media for providing tonight's subtitling and translation for both the nasheed and the clip where we saw Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei speak about Mubahala. So without any further delay, it is our honor to invite Sheikh Ali Qummi, who is going to be speaking tonight to the believers about Mubahala, a defense of Islamic monotheism. We invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani la'in rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. قال الله تعالى الحق من ربك فلا تكن من الممترين. Please recite the salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. First of all, congratulations, dear mu'mineen, dear mu'minat, on the blessed occasion of Eid al-Mubahala. It's a ghalat al-am that sometimes is called Mubahila. It's on for the Hoza students, mashallah. You all know that it's on the wazn of Mufa'ala. So that would be Mubahala. The correct pronunciation would be Mubahala. So regardless, Eid al-Mubahala, Mubarak to all of you, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your a'mal, your du'as, your ibadat on this particular day. And inshallah, give us the ma'rifat of Mubahala so we can act in accordance to that ilahi ma'rifat. Please recite a salawat. So tonight's presentation, we're going to have four sections to it, and we will try to, inshallah, cover different areas when it comes to the event of Mubahala. The first section is going to be about the credibility of Mubahala. The second is going to be the incident of Mubahala, enough in itself, because there are some youth, alhamdulillah, the elders know, and it doesn't hurt to repeat the history. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of lessons that can be learned. Number three is the root of conflict in Mubahala. What was the real conflict between the Christians and Prophet, or between the Muslims at that time? And we will go over it and draw some lessons from it. Last but not the least is the implication of Mubahala today. So these are the four areas, four sections that we will be, inshallah, discussing tonight. If you help me with reciting aloud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So the first section, the credibility of Mubahala. First of all, why do we need to discuss the credibility? Well, unfortunately, in today's time and age, and it's been going on in the history as well, more so today, that there are some nasibis. There are some those who don't necessarily like Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, or they are the munkar of the fazail of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. They are, number one, trying to fabricate the event of Mubahala and the history of Mubahala. Number two, they're trying to say that this event never happened. Yes, they run into this catch 22, then what is the ayah of Mubahala about? They have their own tafsir about it. Although this faction is very small, right? They're very small faction when you look at the grand and great Islamic Ummah, but still they are trying to creep in and make sure that they have a parallel narrative. So we need to look at the credibility of Mubahala, inshallah, and this is the first point we start with. When we look at Allama Tabatabai in his Tafsir al-Mizan, he has done an at-length tafsir of this verse of Holy Quran, which is Surah Ali Imran, verse number 61. Okay? He has done a very long and lengthy interpretation and tafsir of this blessed verse. For Hoza students, it is very important that we, inshallah, go to the sources and start reading these things on our own. Yes, we have heard about it, we know about it, We grew up in an environment where, alhamdulillah, we had scholars telling us the details about different incidents. But definitely go to the tafsir, because the tafsir of Allama Tabatabai, it was beautiful. There were so many beautiful points that if I were to just mention a few of them, it would take up the entire session, right? For instance, why is the siga of plural used in the ayah of Mubahala? And then Prophet, he brought Hasanain, which is a tasniya. Or the siga of plural is used for Nisa, and Prophet brought only one, Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, right? So how in the world do you reconcile the two? The Quran is using the siga of plural in this verse of Quran, and Prophet seems to be seemingly acting differently, right? So there are some Wahhabis and some Nasibis, they tried to challenge the history of Mubahala using these points. What Allama Tabatabai has done in his tafsir, which I had the sharaf of going through just recently, he explained all of these points. Other Mufassirin of Quran have done it too. So at length, tafsir of this verse is provided by Allama Tabatabai. He quoted Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, Imam Musa Kazim alayhi salam, and Imam Ali Raza alayhi salam, and the ahadith from these three infallible imams. Please recite a salawat. It's Eid, guys, so when you recite salawat, let's do it together, and a little bit warm salawat. So the ahadith of these three infallible imams about the event of Mubahala and the details of Mubahala, they have been quoted by Allama Tabatabai in his Tafsir al-Mizan. Then he answered many other doubts, and I pointed out one of those doubts. When you look at someone like Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, a huge, great personality, right? He has done tafsir, and he says, in his tafsir, he says that the event of Mubahala, from three aspects, there's a consensus between Muslim Ummah on this. One, the tafsiri consensus amongst Shias and Sunnis. Again, Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, who is a mufassir of Quran himself, he is saying that there is a consensus between Shias and Sunnis about the event of Mubahala and Prophet taking the infallible Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hassan al-Hussein, and Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha. He said, secondly, there's a riwayi consensus. So the narrations, and he brings the evidence for it, right? I'm just going through these points because most of you, Hosa students, inshallah, you would go and you're expected to do barasi of it. He says that, you know, when it comes to the riwayi consensus, it is available. Third, tarikhi. When you look at the history of Islam, Shias and Sunnis have written extensively about this event in their books of history, right? Then in one place, Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, in his tafsir, he says, in one way, it is a greater Eid than Ghadir, because Imam Ali alayhi salam has been announced as the nafs of the Prophet. Over there, he was announced just the Mawla. Of course, being the nafs of Prophet is higher. It has more malakuti aspects to it, right? And this is what Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli says. Sheikh Mufid, you know, you want to go a little bit, you know, in the history. Sheikh Mufid, he noted the date in his book. He says 24th of Dhul Hijjah, which is today, year 9 after Hijrah, is when this incident happened. So it's not like just that contemporary Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli or Ayatollah, for instance, Allama Tabatabai, they mentioned it. No, it's been there since ever in the books of Islam. Sheikh Abbas Kummi in Mafatihul Janan, he has mentioned there's a mustahab ghusl and fasting for this particular day. Again, you know, I'm showing you that there are historic roots. It's not just, you know, something that came out of thin air. The event of Mubahala, which shows the significance and the fadail of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, that is something confirmed. There's no doubt in it. Ayatollah Mohsen Karati, he quotes Tafsir al-Mizan, and he says that Allama Tabatabai has brought 51 companions of the Prophet who quoted this event that Prophet brought Imam Ali, Hazrat Zahra, and Hassanain. for Mubahala, right? 51 companions of Prophet. So there's a tawatur when it comes to this incident. All of these are the names of Sunni tafasir, right? Our brothers, Ahlul Sunnah brothers, they have mentioned the event of Mubahala with all its details in these tafasir. If somebody needs to take a picture or take notes of it, you know, do that. So it is again something that is established. There's a Masjid-e-Ijaba in Medina that still exists today, according to Ayatollah Mohsin Karati. The distance from Masjid-un-Nabi that it has is 2 kilometers, right? So when you go, inshallah, for Hajj, Hajj-e-Baytullah, inshallah, you go and pay a visit to this masjid as well. Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah Ta'ala alayhi says, on the one hand, the Mubahala verse proves one of the highest virtues of the Ahlul Bayt, especially Hazrat Zahra Salamullah alayha. And on the other hand, it is a diagram of Fatima's parallelism with the Prophet and other infallibles. This is a huge statement. Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah Ta'ala alayhi speaking about the fazail of Ahlul Bayt and this event of Mubahala, this is what he brings up. Imam Khamenei says, Mubahala Day is the day when the Holy Prophet of Islam brings his dearest human elements to the arena. And you saw it in the clip as well. That is, it shows how important it is to express the truth, to propagate the truth. He brings them to the arena with this claim that let's have Mubahala. This separation and segregation of truth and falsehood, haq and batil, it existed in all times. And no, not everybody was capable of doing that. Not everybody stepped into the arena. There were so many people throughout the history, when it came to the real battle between haq and batil, they were on the sidelines. And arguably, majority was on the sidelines. You know, sometimes it is said that why is it that only, you know, Ayatollah Khamenei or Ayatollah Khomeini, they are in the arena. Well, throughout the history, you look at the majority was on the sidelines. They didn't want to be part of this conflict between haq and batil. Today, why is the Islamic Republic of Iran alone out of all these countries when it comes to the fight between haq and batil? It's history repeating itself, right? Haq and batil is something that, and this is what determines the fazilat of anyone, of any mu'min. How much is your contribution in this battle between haq and batil? There are many good to do things. You know, serving water to people, for instance, you know, I don't know, it's a good thing, right? There's sawab for it. But the evil and the evil powers of your time, they're not going to get ticked off because you're serving water to people. They're going to be troubled when you challenge their authority, right? This is what Islam teaches us and shows us. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was great up until he challenged the authority of the tawagheed. He had all the virtues and merits. Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, they were the best of the people. Their akhlaq was the best. But then they started to challenge the tawagheed. And as soon as they challenge the tawagheed comes after them. The tawagheed starts attacking them. So this whole idea that we're just going to impress people through our akhlaq and never get into any conflict, never get into the fight between haq and batil, this is a batil idea. This idea, it is not something that comes from the school of Ahlul Bayt. If you look at the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, they always drew a line between haq and batil, right? So we will continue into inshallah to the second section if you recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. The incident of Mubahala itself. So the story goes like this, especially for the youth, and I apologize to the elders and to the teachers that, you know, it's important for the youth to know some of these details. So inshallah, we'll get through this section quick. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please recite a salawat. Prophet established this Islamic government in Medina, and soon after he started to send these letters to the surroundings, inviting them to accept Islam. And one of those invitations were sent to Najran, right? Najran was, you know, located in northern mountainous region of Yemen, about 20 kilometers from their capital, Sana'a. About 40,000 Christians inhabited the land, divided into 73 small towns, right? So it's like a neighborhood of Christians. They, by the way, used to be idol worshippers before they became Christians. And then there was this person, I was reading in Tafsir of Allame, this person went and did preaching for Christianity, and they all became Christian, okay? A delegation of senior Christian priests and scholars were sent to Medina after Prophet wrote them a letter to embrace Islam, to accept Islam. They came and had a long discussion. You know, it spanned over days, according to history. A long discussion with the Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they discussed several issues. One of those issues that actually became that sticking point was the issue of Trinity, as they call it, Tathlis, right? Trinity, believing in this Christian, pseudo-Christian al-Albate, it's not in the original Christianity, a Christian narrative that says that there's a Father, there's a Son, and there's a Holy Spirit, right? So the Christians insisted that we are going to continue believing in this, and Prophet of Allah said that there is no God but Allah. This belief of Trinity that you have, 1 = 2 and 2 = 3, and they all become one, this is illogical, right? So Prophet actually gave them arguments. Akli dalail, then he came to nakli dalail, right? Prophet gave them logical arguments, and then when it came to like the Quranic verses in the negation of Trinity, Prophet recited this verse of Surah Ali Imran, which is verse number 59, and it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna masala Isa indallah. Indeed the case of Isa with Allah, in the eyes of Allah, kam masali Adama, is just like Adam's. Khalakahu min turabin, thumma kala lahu kun fayakun. He created him from dust, then said to him, be, and he was. So the Christians were saying that how is it that Jesus, Isa, doesn't have a father, right? Because he doesn't have a father, he's a God. So Prophet said, if that is your logic, then Adam becomes a bigger God. Na'udhu billah. These are my words, right? Because he didn't have a mother either, not just the father, right? So that's the first dalil that Prophet is giving to them, right? Again, look at the Burhan that Quran has established. Then, you know, same chapter, the next verse comes that I recited early on in my presentation. It says, Al-Haqqu min Rabbik. Prophet said, this is the truth from your Lord. Fala takum minal mumtareen. Do not be from amongst the skeptics. Do not doubt it. Believe it. When Allah is saying that there is only one Allah, then do not doubt. Do not confuse yourself with this Trinity thing. They, you know, long story short, they didn't want to agree to this talk of the Prophet. So they denied Quran even, right? Okay. Then finally the verse of Mubahala, it was revealed. The verse goes like, فَمَنْ حَجَّكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. Should anyone argue with you concerning him, that is Hazrat Isa, after the knowledge that has come to you, فَقُلْ, then say, تَعَالَوْ, come, نَدْعُوا أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ. Come, let's call our sons and your sons, our women and your women, our souls and your souls. Then, thumma, then, nabtahil, let's pray together, raise our hands towards the sky. فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. That Allah, let us pray earnestly and call down Allah's curse upon the liars. So if you lie about Allah, Allah's curse be upon you. Right? This is the stage that Prophet said. They said, okay, we're ready. So next day, Prophet, he brought Imam Ali alayhi salam, Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and of course himself. And the result was that the Christians backed off. We have a hadith from Ma'soom. Ma'soom says that if the Christians wouldn't have backed off, they would have been perished on that day. They backed off. And again, there are details of why they backed off. Different commentators of Quran and historians, they have gone through those details, which I don't have time to get into. Inshallah, we move on to our third point. If you recite a salawat, ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So brothers and sisters, what was the real conflict between the two? If you notice, the conflict, sometimes, you know, we get caught up in the details of an issue or of any incident. You know, and we have done it many times. Like for instance, about Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala, we get caught up into many fine details. And sometimes we are unable to focus on the real reason of the uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Isn't that right? Similarly, in Mubahala, sometimes, you know, we just think that, oh, it's the fazail of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, and that's it. Right? We have to see what the root of conflict is. Brothers and sisters, it was a serious matter where it was an attack on Islamic monotheism. It was an attack on Tawheed. It was an attack on the Holy Quran. The Barahin that Holy Quran established, it was an attack against that. Right? So if you look at the details of it, the battle was the battle of spirituality. It was the battle of piety. Because when they denied it, when they denied the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they denied Tawheed, when the Christians did that, Prophet did not come up with like his sword and, you know, start fighting them. No, he established Burhan, logical arguments. Then he brought Quran in the middle, right? And then when the issue was aggravated and the Mubahala verse came, then from there on it was a battle of spirituality. Because now Allah is going to send curse and la'na on someone who's a liar, right? Now this battle of spirituality and piety, shouldn't spirituality and piety be the real weapon of a mu'min? You know, when we see today, we have like different weapons. But when it comes to spirituality and piety, sometimes we feel short on accumulating this real weapon. This is the message of Mubahala. And that spirituality actually brings you to the battlefield, the real battlefield where you fight with the enemy with weapons. If you lack that spirituality, then there's no fight. You would just escape the battlefield. You look at the history, those who escaped the battlefield during the battles, why was it? Think about it. It was because of their lack of spirituality and lack of courage. They escaped the battlefield. So God forbid, if we, I'm talking about myself to begin with, if we are weak in our spirituality, rest assured we are going to escape the battlefield. Right? It was the maidan and the arena of spirituality and piety. The battle was the battle of beliefs. You know, sometimes we feel that, oh, we just have arguments. Every argument is lined up to, you know, basically give a shut-up call to anyone, right? No, sometimes it is not about the arguments. As a matter of fact, most of the times it is not about the arguments. This battle goes to your own spiritual strength. Why is it that Imam Khomeini, Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayhi, was able to move an entire nation? And we in some cases fail to move our friends, our dear ones, sometimes our families. We're not able to bring about a change. Why? It goes back to spirituality. Imam Khomeini, being that Arif-e Kamil, he was able to move a nation, and not just a nation, the region, not just the region, the entire Islamic Ummah, and not just the Islamic Ummah, the humanity. If you notice, Imam Khomeini, Rizwanullah ta'ala alayhi, he moved humanity. They became interested in Islam. Even the Christians became interested in Islam after the revolution of Imam Khomeini. This was the strength of his spirituality. Please recite a salawat. Some questions, brothers and sisters. So are we not seeing atheism grow today right in front of our eyes? We say that Mubahala was a defense of monotheism, Islamic monotheism, right? Do we not see that today atheism, ilhad, is growing in the world? Even the Muslims, Sunnis and Shias alike, many of their next generations, they're not convinced with Tawheed in many cases. It's a widespread phenomenon. Do we not see that atheism is doing propaganda against Tawheed? It is happening in front of our eyes. Are we not seeing the verses and laws of Quran being challenged today? Anywhere, like not just in non-Muslim countries, even in Muslim countries, is it not happening in front of us? We're seeing it happen, and we are Ahle Mubahala, right? We are somebody, we own Mubahala. We say that, you know, our Prophet did Mubahala, our Imams did Mubahala. Where is our response and defense of Tawheed and Quran? This is something that we all have to think, and we have to think seriously. I'm not here to do khitabat, and I'm not here to do, like, you know, or show my oratory skills. These are some points I had on mind, and I wanted to share with you. Out of all fairness and all seriousness, these are the serious matters we are going to be asked on the Day of Judgment. What we did to defend the Tawheed. Where was Tawheed in our circles? Where was Quran in our circles? How did we defend Quran? Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam in Usul al-Kafi volume 2, in the chapter or section of Mubahala says, and this is important, Mubahala is not specific to Prophet or the time of Prophet. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said that. You know, sometimes we think about history that it's specific to infallibles only. They were supposed to do it. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is saying that no, Mubahala was not confined to Prophet, number one, nor to just to the time of Prophet, that if you're living in that era and that time, then you're to do Mubahala. No. Imam says the believers can do Mubahala as well. Which believers? Believers who are strong in their spirituality. Again, believers who are strong in their aqaid. Believers who are strong in their akhlaq. Believers who are well-rounded mu'mineen. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is inviting us towards that. Ayatullah Alami Tawatabai in Tafsir al-Mizan, he quotes this hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that I just read for you. Ayatullah Makarim Shirazi in Tafsir al-Namuna, and I looked up all these tafasir. In Tafsir al-Namuna, he quotes Imam Sadiq alayhi salam with the same hadith. Ayatullah Mohsin Karati in Tafsir al-Nur, he also quotes the same hadith. Coming from the infallible Imam. Abd Ali Hawazi, he's a 12th century faqih and muhaddis in tafsir, and his tafsir is called Nur al-Saqlain. He also quotes it on volume 1, page 351. Right? So it's not just limited and specific to Masumeen or Prophet. The mu'mineen are expected. Brothers and sisters, how do we even begin to do Mubahala without proper spirituality? It's just simply not possible. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is expecting us to do mubahala. We are actually failing in the first level. We don't even have good arguments for defending tawheed. Unfortunately, many of us, the Hoza students. It's painful. Just mere defense of tawheed in logical arguments. Mubahala is the next stage. The last section that we will enter, inshallah, with this thought that may Allah give us the logical arguments, and not just arguments, but piety and spirituality to be able to defend tawheed, recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. This is where I would like to spend a little bit of time, inshallah, before we conclude. And that is that, you know, mubahala has implications today. Not just today, in all times. It had implications in the past, and it has implications in the future as well. And today is no exception, right? What are the implications of mubahala? Let's discuss that. Brothers and sisters, modern atheism is a reality. Atheism is spreading in the world. We are fighting about some ritualistic issues, like, you know, I don't know, I don't want to name because it's going to be a tangent, right? Rituals, we're fighting about rituals, right? The type of matam we can do, for instance, in Muharram. These are our issues. The enemy is actually attacking our roots. Tawheed is our root. If you look at the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam, the finest and purest tawheed exists in the school of Ahlul Bayt and nowhere else. But again, we fail to give it to the world. We fail to present it to the world. Today, the modern atheism, it's using different areas and attacking us. Brothers and sisters, Burhan-e-Nazm is not enough anymore. We need to come out of our bubble. You know, Burhan-e-Nazm is not good enough to answer their questions. The atheists, you go online and you look what these atheists are doing, and then you wonder what's happening with your next generation. Why are they not convicted Muslims, and why are they not really following Islam? It is because their tawheed is being weakened. And this is the area where we're not focused, unfortunately, and generally speaking. I'm not stereotyping that nobody is. No, alhamdulillah. We've got many people, but I'm saying generally this is the issue. When you look at the cognitive sciences, this is what the enemy is using to attack Islamic monotheism. When you look at quantum physics, the enemy is using quantum physics, and I'll explain how, or I will point towards that, to attack Islamic monotheism. When you look at biology, the enemy is using biology to attack Islamic monotheism. English literature, the enemy is using that. Social sciences and humanities, all of that. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. You look at cognitive sciences, what the enemy is saying, the enemies of Allah, here we're not talking about enemies of any nation or country or group. The enemies of Allah, the enemies of Islam, the Islamic monotheism. They're saying that human existence is limited to body. Only jism, right? And when they're confronted with that people have religious experience and so on and so forth, they said that there is a part of your brain in your head that because it's activated, human beings, they start thinking about religion and God. If you take out that little tiny bitty part from human brain, you wouldn't even think about it. They came up with a science, it's called neurotheology. They're working on this. And by the way, this is what the world is studying right now. The world is not coming to Hoza Ilmiyakum. The world, the universities, they're teaching these things. So they say they take out that part, you know, they will be deactivated to think about God and religion. Quantum physics. You know how we say, you know, tanakuz is, you know, ijtamaun nakizain mahal mi bashad, right? We say that, right? You know what quantum physics is doing? And by the way, many of our arguments are based on this very notion that ishtamau nakizain, that nakiz cannot be combined or merged, whatever you want to call it, right? Cannot be ishtamad, right? This is the basis of many of our arguments. Quantum physics are saying that tanakuz is possible to begin with. What do you do with your ishtamau nakizain muhal? Right? This is how they're confusing our youth. Then you look at this illatu ma'lul. Right? Many of our arguments when it comes to defending tawheed, you know, these traditional arguments that the ulama actually worked really hard to come up with these arguments, right? So the credit goes to them with all due respect. The times have changed. Shaitan has upgraded. But we haven't, generally speaking. They reject the theory of causality, this cause and effect. So you say, you know, illat and ma'lul, tasalsul and dor, right? You have studied all this, so I'm not getting into details. They said this is, no, quantum physics says that cause and effect is not always true. So how do you prove God? Up until now, you were just saying cause and effect, right? Biology, the famous or infamous Darwinism theory of biological evolution. And by the way, for those who may not know, the new area that they have actually worked on and has come out is Neo-Darwinism, which is a synthesis of Darwin's theory in terms of natural selection and modern population genetics. Where are we? In all this, where are we? Are we even working towards it, is the question. Are we? Are we even aware that this is what's going on in the world? Are we? See, it's very easy and very comforting and very good, and I appreciate it, and I encourage to come to programs, you know, meet each other, you know, eat together, you know, laugh, meet each other. But these are the issues that we are confronted with. Are the Hausa students even thinking about it? English literature completely based on nihilism. What is nihilism? The rejection of all religious and moral principles. This is what they're doing to us. Your kids, you know, we become so happy that my kid knows English, right? I want to send them to a school where they learn English. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying don't learn a language. It could be any language. The point is, do you know the baggage it can potentially come up with? Are we even prepared for it? Social sciences and humanities ke dige iftazaz. You know, you look at sociology, psychology, economics. It's all based on their principles. You get into this economics debates and discussions, you know, you try to prove socialism, right? Or disprove socialism. From there, capitalism gets proved. You try to disprove capitalism, socialism gets proved. Where is Islamic Iqtisad? These are the questions for us. People are looking towards us. You look at politics. So you disprove communism, democracy gets proved. You disprove democracy, communism gets proved. Where are we stuck? Even our own Shias are not getting convinced that there is a system, political system, that is called Wilayatul Faqih. Do an experiment. Call some relatives of yours, wherever they're living, throughout the world, Shias, the followers of Ahlul Bayt. Ask them a question. Ask them, you say that Islam is a complete code of life, right? Ask them, what is the political system of Islam called? You would hear this kind of silence. Because we're not thinking systematically. We're caught up in our rituals. There's a statement of Ayatollah Javadi Amuli. He recently said, I don't have that right now, I have to look for it. Some of you may have heard it. He said that we're not going to be able to confront the world and the world academia by just going from Jamkaran to Haram and Haram to Jamkaran. He said that for a reason. Because our great ulama, they're looking at all this. So, again, you know, you ask your relatives, do that test today, right? And you will see that they just don't know. They would be like, what do you mean, right? They wouldn't say Khilafat, they wouldn't say Imamat, they wouldn't say Wilayat, they wouldn't say Wilayatul Faqih in most cases. Whose fault is it? We're celebrating the Eid, but we're not doing justice to this Eid and the other Eids, unfortunately. Please recite a salawat. So the last slide I want to discuss today, before I conclude, what do we do then, right? Against atheism, because today we are discussing atheism, attack on Tawheed, right? What do we do about it? Well, Quran tells us, in this verse of the Holy Quran, same chapter, a few verses after the verse of Mubahala. Mubahala is 61, this is 64. Quran gives us the solution. Quran says, Ta'alaw إِلَىٰ كَلَمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Come to a common word between us and you. أَلَّا نَعْبُدُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That we will worship no one but Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. That we will not ascribe any partner to him. وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْزُنَا بَعْزًا أَرْبَابًا. And that some of us will not take some others as lords, min dunillah, besides Allah. This is the solution. To confront atheism, this is the solution. This is the formula. Now, how do we materialize this formula? I was thinking, you know, I sat down, I was thinking. Well, the first thing that came to my mind is, why cannot be there an international platform, an international forum, based on academic unity? Wahdat-e-ilmi, academic unity. You know, that has a consensus on that there is one God. Yes, there could be differences in details, but the consensus that there is one God. There are many monotheists throughout the world. There are many theists even. Hala, the necessity of religion itself. Many people, they want to conclude that yes, religion, a code of conduct, principles, rules, they are required. This movement of atheism, right now, I know you're bored, and I'm coming to the end. And I knew before the speech, you know, this presentation, that it's a little bit of a takhassusi discussion, but at the end of the day, we expect, inshallah, the friends and brothers to start thinking about these things, right? This in itself, right, is going to be one of the biggest challenges that we are going to face, not in far future, in near future. And in many cases, if we look around, even in Islamic countries, I've talked to people even in Pakistan, right? People from, you know, NUST and FAST, all of these big universities. Many of them, when it comes to Tawheed, they're Shia people, Shia kids. They don't know anything about Tawheed, and they're confused. They have genuine questions. They have questions pertaining to Kalam-e-Jadid. I don't want to go into a tangent, but you know, I will say a few things if you allow me. Kalam-e-Jadid is, in the West, it's called philosophy of religion. Okay? And we can call it modern theology or modern theology is probably the closest, right? Kalam-e-Jadid, go and look it up. Alhamdulillah, the only people that I've seen who have worked in this is Iranians. Iranians, alhamdulillah, many scholars here, many academics here, they have worked on Kalam-e-Jadid, including but not limited to my teacher who's sitting here. Right? One of my teachers is here and he has, alhamdulillah, worked in this area. But there's very less work done in Arabic, no work in English, no work in Urdu when it comes to Kalam-e-Jadid. You know the youths, the type of questions they have today? Is there an absolute reality that exists? You keep talking about the ismat of masumeen, which is important in its own place, but your youth is confused at the very root. Why? Because of the type of literature they are consuming. Why? Because of the type of media they are consuming. All of these movies, they have subtle messages that majority cannot pick. Even cartoons, brothers and sisters, cartoons. You know, at home, sometimes we just play these cartoons for our kids. Go watch this cartoon so we can relax. I understand you're tired, but this is going to hijack your child. Don't do it. They have subtle messages. They're very sharp. Remember, the enemies of Allah and Islam, they have worked on social sciences. They're the experts. And then they also have the ta'id and the nusrat of Iblis himself. You look at Hollywood, you look at Disney. These evil entities, they are being helped by the evil powers. Again, it's going to be a long tangent I don't want to go into. But know that this is the challenge. This is what we're going to be confronted with soon. We needed to work on it yesterday. We didn't. Even now, you talk to Hosa students, they're not interested in any of this. Right? One God and the necessity of religion itself. If we take this two-point agenda, somebody, when I say we, I'm talking collectively, and form an international forum to confront atheism, which is hollow. Atheism is hollow. It doesn't have any base and foundation. The problem is that since evil powers control the world, they give coverage, visibility to these evil projects who are promoting atheism, who are promoting ilhad, right? They get the coverage in newspapers, magazines. If you're a researcher, you write a research paper, and if you're a muwahid, they try not to publish your research paper. The scientists in the scientific field, those who are mulhid, they get coverage, huge coverage. They're like, you know, Dr. Fulan, doctor. But if you are muwahid, you do not get that level of respect and coverage, if anything. Okay? So this platform, if somebody can, inshallah, work on this, we feel that it's doable. Who are the people who can potentially be part of this platform? All the theists. Notice, I'm not saying monotheists. All the theists. Because here, at this level, you are fighting atheism. You combine all the theists. Ta'alu ila kalamatin sawa. Right? You gather them. Sunnis, Shias. And not just scholars. I showed you some of the issues. Right? Quantum physics. We need physicists. We need biologists. We need chemists. I did not include the chemistry, how it gets used in challenging Tawheed. Right? We need all of these people to get closer. And this is what Imam Khomeini wanted. Proximity between Hauza and Danishgah. Now we are starting to understand when we are confronted with the challenge. Through his basira, he understood it back then. We need scientists, academics, people who can write, people who can speak. Right? This is a mahaz. This is the arena today. This is where the fight is. And this is very rishai. This is very bunyadi. People of the book, right? The Christians, the Jews, right? They're muwahid. They don't like atheists and atheism. Agnostics, people who believe in some supernatural power, they don't necessarily believe in any organized religion, right? Agnostics can be part of this. Because they are against atheism too, through their own adillah, right? Hindus even Hindus, they have multiple deities. And again, this front is empty right now. And by the way, I looked through some Sunni work. Sunnis, they have done some work in it. Our people, Shias, I haven't seen any impressive and effective work so far. The only thing I've seen is like some scholars in the Hawza, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and that too in Qom. Najaf, I don't want to talk about it. Other places, nothing. So these are some of the points that I wanted to discuss with you. You know, it was like more of a discussion than like a oration or a speech. Inshallah, you will forgive me, especially the ustads. You know, I took up a lot of your time, but these are some thoughts. I stand to be corrected, inshallah. And if there are any deficiencies, anything that needs to be improved in this thought, or anything that needs to be rectified, inshallah, the ustads will guide us. Please recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.